Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The sooner the better. It is happening. I think we talked about this a number of weeks ago now, but there was an incident now at Kauffman Stadium, and it's brought up the question again. When are you expanding the netting at Kauffman Stadium, right? It's happening all over baseball. And we had talked about it a few weeks ago, Bob, saying, hey, I don't care what your structural question, just get it done, right?
Yep.
Get it done during a road trip. There was the, oh, well, teams are going to look into this, and there's not mandated, but teams are going to look at this and maybe get to these things by next season.
Sure.
Well, it looks like the Royals are already in the process of determining how to go about extending the netting to the foul poles. There was an incident over the weekend. A girl was hit by a line drive,
mm-hmm.
Believed to be okay, believed to have been released after staying overnight at a local hospital. But now... it has brought up questions again. When are you going to get this done? When are you going to get this done? This is happening here. A couple ballparks have started it already. I know the White Sox had been working on it, and now it looks like the Royals have been already in discussions about how to accomplish that. But again, to me, sooner the better. Don't everybody wait. Don't wait for another incident to happen before it kind of takes the center stage. Just go ahead and do it.
Well, yeah, and I think the White Sox and the Yankees, I know Yankee Stadium has it far down the lines, and the White Sox obviously are going foul pole to foul pole to protect the empty seats in Comiskey Park. But I think what you know teams need to do, though, Josh, there's more to it than originally thought. You got to make sure, you know, structurally you can do it as well. And I saw something yesterday, Kevin Ulick, one of the vice presidents over at the Royals, he made the comment of, you know, Major League Baseball does not want any of the support systems near fair play or hanging over fair play as well. So they have to figure out a way to design it. I think with Kauffman Stadium, the way that it's set up now, you could easily do that, you know, along the third and first baselines and really structurally secure that just by going from the middle deck down. But I'm not an engineer, so I don't know if that, you know, how. No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Billy may think I am, and I probably could be an engineer if tasked with that.
It's not like hanging a shower curtain.
But it's not hanging a shower curtain, right? Yeah. You have to make
it's not
sure.
Like woodpeckers are pudding.
Right, exactly. You have to make sure it's tight. You have to make sure it's going to stay up. You have to make sure it's going to be safe and it's not going to collapse on the fans. And, you know, there's obviously some stuff that goes into it. It's not an overnight fix. And it's good to know that the Royals are going to do that. And it should be mandated by Major League Baseball. I don't know why Major League Baseball is very hesitant to mandate this, because it seems like every couple of weeks we have an incident now at a ballpark where somebody is getting hurt, where somebody is getting, you know, injured because of a foul ball going into the stands. And we talked about it, you know, when this incident happened down in Houston a couple of weeks ago, with everybody worried about exit velo now and that being a hot topic around baseball, how hard you're hitting it. Guys are going up there and they're trying to club the ball. And with Major League Baseball changing the balls and making them more offensively geared, you know, for home runs and whatnot, that means you're going to hit the ball out of play a lot harder because of the way that the ball is designed now as well. And so those are just two examples and two reasons why that netting needs to be secured. And also the third reason is, and I know old people don't like to hear this, but look, we're in a day and age where people do look at their phones and they're just not going to sit there and focus on the game the entire time.
Look, we can go back and forth about the argument. It's not just about paying attention.
It's not about paying attention.
Your stick on the ice or however you want to, you know, claim it. You know, if you're going to sit there and be a keyboard warrior and act like you could feel the 110-mile-an-hour batted ball.
The bare hand or a beer.
Yeah, you can get the hell out of here with that. I'm not listening to that. This is one of those instances where, like, Major League Baseball just needs to do something. Okay?
Yes, they need to say, this is the law.
And don't give me the affordability crap. You've got teams that are paying guys upwards of $430 million.
Right.
Okay. Don't give me any of that. Like it's nonsensical at this point. And if you want to make an argument against it, the only thing that I hear from you is I don't want to, that's it. Like if you're going to sit here and tell me, well, people should pay attention and not put their kids in those seats and any other, you know, crap excuse that you want to come up with, that's just you saying, I don't want to.
Right.
And there's no argument against it at this point. The best seats in the house are behind the net. It's about fan safety, and teams can find a way to do it. It just needs to be one of those things where they don't let people sit here and mill back and forth about what we think about it. Just do it.
Yeah,
and don't be reactionary about it either. I don't understand why we wait to be reactionary about this. It's not a matter of will somebody get hit by a ball. It's when somebody will get hit by a ball.
Well, Ryan, that's the society in which we live, though, because we all live in the it will never happen to us, you know, phase of life. Everybody thinks, well, it'll never happen to me. And I think that's the way a lot of baseball teams are viewing it right now. Well, our ballpark's designed differently. It'll never happen here. No, it will happen here. My daughter almost got blistered with a line drive sitting in the middle deck a couple of years ago in a vestibule. We had to move her out of the way as a ball was coming up there. And so to say that it would never happen and it can't happen, I'm telling you that that's just a bad way to approach it. And you're right about the keyboard warriors. Well, don't sit your kids there. Why should my kids have to sit in a worse seat because they're younger or something like that? Why shouldn't they be able to experience a nice seat if we have the opportunity to do that?
There is one argument that, and somebody bringing it up on the text line, they need retractable nets. So there's fan interaction. I think like during the batting practice phase of things where
they
fans
are
used
down
to kind of coming
cool.
down.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, like, I'll listen to that. I understand that end of it. But for you to tell me that, well, if you don't want to have to worry about it, then just don't sit there. That's stupid.
That
man.
Is dumb,
like,
yeah.
You know, there's plenty of evidence that supports the idea that an average fan, even if they're paying attention to the game, doesn't stand much of a chance of getting out of the way of that foul ball.
I think they showed it brilliantly a couple of weeks ago after the Houston incident when they showed somebody playing second base in the major leagues took a shot off the bat the same way that that kid did, and he couldn't even handle the ball at second base because it was a screaming line drive, and he was further away paying attention and had a glove on. Okay?
This text right here is phenomenal. 816, my favorite seats are just behind the first base dugout a few rows up. Whenever I bring my wife and kids, I'm on edge for every single pitch, knowing the danger. We have even rehearsed how I would become a meat shield if one of the balls batted and came towards my daughter. It sure would be nice to relax and enjoy the game.
That nails it right there. You shouldn't have to rehearse being a meat shield to go to a baseball game or think about a
definitely
plan of
using
a,
the term meat shield.
Right? Or think about a plan of action should a ball come into the crowd. Like it just should be, it should be taken care of. And hockey decided that, you know what, we're done with having the puck being able to go over the ice behind or the glass behind the goalie. We're mandating nets. I just don't understand
just
why Major League
so
Baseball.
Simple.
I don't understand why baseball just doesn't mandate this. Like, why doesn't baseball just say, you know what, we're going to mandate this now, just like we have seatbelt laws or helmet laws or things like that. We've got to protect ourselves from ourselves. Major League Baseball needs to take the burden of proof and the onus off of its member clubs
and just give everybody
and
a deadline.
Just tell everybody by this time the nets need to be up or you're fined
$100,000. And the wild thing is, like, right now, if you're a Major League club, you have an opportunity to come out looking like the good guy.
Right. Yeah.
Like, do it before Major League Baseball comes in and says, hey, you need to do this. Do it before somebody gets pelted and you know, is in the hospital for days and, you know, people in the city are worried about it. Do it before there's a conversation about
it.
Set the tone of it.
Just be like Nike.
Just get it done. I don't understand what the apprehension towards this is. It feels inevitable at this point.
Well, it does. And I think the apprehension is, well, we need to study it. And I get the studying the structural soundness of things and making sure engineering-wise you can do it and do it the way that Major League Baseball wants to do it. But all of that should have been done at least this past offseason when this started to become an issue around Major League Baseball. It should have been, I mean, because we were talking about this last year and nobody reacted to it.
I ultimately think that it boils down to, like, the things that you want to do, you'll find a way. And the things you don't want to do, you'll find excuses.
Yep.
And that seems to be what we're what's happening here.
Everybody needs a deadline.
Yeah.
Give everybody a deadline. No deal yet, but it may be just time to go out and play next.
Fesco in the morning.
might be time to just go out and play. 'Tis a season of the franchise tag, the contract extensions that do or don't happen, right? We're in that little window of it is happening or it's not happening. The deadline passing yesterday for the franchise tag players to get that long-term deal done or play under the tag. The Texans, Jadeveon Clowney, does not get a deal done. He'll play under an almost $16 million tag if he signs it, assuming he signs it.
Yep.
Atlanta defensive tackle Grady Jarrett agree on a four-year, $68 million deal with a $43.5 million guaranteed. No movement on Chris Jones. He's not under a franchise tag, but he's looking at a long-term deal, and I'm sure paying attention to every defensive lineman deal that comes down the pipe, right?
Right.
So, four-year, $68 million, $43.5 guaranteed.
Right.
Still looks like above what the Chiefs are thinking, right, with Chris Jones?
Well, the Chiefs right now are looking, and Chris Jones, they're discussing the three-year deal for what the Chiefs want to do is like a $52 million contract with about, you know, 45 guaranteed or something, roughly, you know, in that number. And
so more, that'd be more than this one,
yeah,
guaranteed.
Well, about yeah, about roughly the same ballpark or something like that, right? And I think Chris
Jones...
But it'd
be one less year and more guaranteed. One less year and more guaranteed money.
Right, yes.
So this would be a better guaranteed money.
Better guaranteed money, yeah. Sure. It'd be about $17 million a year or whatever it is, which is roughly the franchise number for a defensive tackle right now. But Chris Jones wants, you know, 3 years, and he wants $65 million, and he wants all of that guaranteed. So that puts you, you know, $20 million apart, as we've talked about for weeks now here on 610 Sports Radio. Nobody else is talking about these numbers except us, and these are the numbers that you need to know. And so Chris Jones is looking at that, and he's going, well, you know what? I want $65 million in guaranteed money. And the Chiefs are like, well, we'll give you $45 million in guaranteed money, but we'll give you some opportunities, you know, with bonus structures and whatnot to get the whole 52 guaranteed if you go out there and do what you want. And they're not moving. Like, Chris Jones has agents, and I think he's got a brother combo as his agent, and they're telling him, no, you're going to be able to get this $65 million, you know, in money in the $65 million contract. Well, when you're $20 million apart, Josh, that there's nowhere to go. Okay, all right, fine. You want $65, we're willing to give you $45. We're not moving, you're not moving. Okay, fine. So that's where the Roy or the Chiefs
doesn't
are
seem
right
like
now.
There's a meet in the middle.
No, there's not a meet.
And
well,
when you have
not when you're $20 million apart, there's
and,
not.
And
you know?
Have well, the franchise tags also clouded that.
Right.
Like, a lot of times you could say in any deal,
right,
let's meet somewhere close to the middle.
Right.
It seemingly doesn't happen in the NFL because I got the ultimate trump card.
Yeah, franchise tag. And I don't have to meet in the middle as a franchise. And what the Chiefs are willing to do is give this guy, you know, $45 million roughly in guaranteed money or whatever it is. Here's a check for $45 million. And he's saying no. He's saying no to that. And I'm a big player guy and go for it. And I don't hold anything against Chris Jones. I appreciate the fact that he's going for it and he wants his money right now. But he also has to understand where he is. Like, the agents that he has and himself are valuing his play in a much higher category right now than the Kansas City Chiefs or reality really dictates. I mean, we keep forgetting that, you know, Chris Jones may want all of this money. Chris Jones has never made a Pro Bowl. Chris Jones is coming off one really good year. And over the last two seasons, Chris Jones has left playoff games early because of boo-boos. And so to me, like, Chris Jones has not earned that $65 million that he believes he is worth. What the Chiefs are willing to do, they're willing to pay him $45 million in guaranteed money with a $52 million contract and say, hey, go out and earn the extra $7 or $8 million in incentives and bonuses, and hey, $52 million ultimately be a nice deal for you. But he doesn't want that. He values himself much higher. And until Chris Jones is able to kind of back down a little bit and realize his market value and what he truly is worth, then he's not going to get paid, and he's going to get $1.5 million this year and then get franchised next year and maybe franchised the year after, or it turns into a Frank Clark deal where they franchise him and then ship his ass somewhere else and get first-round draft picks back in return. So I think right now, you know, the Chiefs and Chris Jones are at a stalemate, and when you see the deal that was signed yesterday, 4 for $68 million, hey, man, if I'm Chris Jones, I'm taking the money that the Chiefs are offering right now because they're offering you some good coin. And you really haven't accomplished a lot yet. Just because you like hot cocoa doesn't make you a great NFL player. And the Chiefs are looking at Chris Jones and they're saying, You haven't reached that level yet, but we're willing to give you a lot of guaranteed money and invest in you. And he's kind of scoffing at it right now.
Joel Corey, former sports agent. You've heard him multiple times here on 610 Sports Radio. Works with CBS Sports. Was asked a question on Twitter, though, yesterday from a follower. Do you think he, that being Chris Jones, is a bit put off by seeing Frank Clark get the big deal when he's been here since the beginning? Corey's response, of course Chris Jones is. I had countless conversations as an agent where clients would complain about their respective teams taking care of outsiders rather than the existing players. And you have to remember that could factor into Chris Jones's feelings too.
Well, absolutely.
Not saying it's how would you not feel that way?
Well, how does anybody at any company not feel that way if they've been there for a while and they bring in a new guy and they pay that guy more right. than you're making or give that guy more
like,
benefits
wait,
than you're
getting?
I've been here for a
while.
There weren't
raises over here. Or yeah. You just brought in this. What's yeah. going on?
I mean, that's human nature.
So that factors in too, that he saw not only what is happening around the market, he saw Frank Clark. And he's like, well, what about me? I've been here the entire time. So that factors in, has to factor into the mindset of Chris Jones.
But Frank Clark, they had to go out and acquire. And when you have to go out and acquire somebody, it's different than when you have somebody already in-house. I mean, that's, again, that's human nature.
But they didn't have to pay Frank Clark.
They didn't have to, no. But, I mean, that was, I think, part of the deal for them to agree to that trade.
Yeah,
was
mean,
like,
but,
get a new contract.
But from Chris Jones' perspective, they didn't have to pay him. They did.
They don't really have to pay Chris Jones either, and they're offering
him money.
Why
aren't they going to pay me? Well, every NFL player expects to be paid, and every NFL player, I'm not saying Chris Jones is out of line here. I don't think Chris Jones is out of line here at all. What you're doing is you're trying to set the bar and beat the bar of the last guy. That's every single contract right. in the NFL. And for Chris Jones' perspective, I don't care what you think I haven't accomplished. This is what this guy got. I want the next.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're at with the two, and it's I understand where both sides are on this one. I just think that the NFL – the teams are always in the best spot because they can just go,
right,
tag,
you're right, you're it,
and that's the ultimate one. If you can work it out, great. If not, there's always the franchise tag, and each side is working what they can work right, well, whatever leverage they have. But the team's got the ultimate whammy at the end.
And ultimately, though, I think, you know, if I'm Chris Jones, I'm probably taking this deal. He should take this deal, I should say. He probably won't take the deal, but he should take the deal because, you know what, the landscape's going to change in 6 months, okay? There's going to be a certain individual that's going to make a lot of money here in the next couple of months as a quarterback. And once
and
that contract
maybe
is
he
signed,
has an even better season, and maybe that number goes
maybe
up.
Maybe that number goes
a little
up.
Little less for you.
Yeah, I mean, so...
You don't know.
You don't know. I think the landscape is going to change once Patrick Mahomes signs that contract. And the one thing that I can tell you, Josh, and for all Chiefs fans out there, the one thing that is 100% guaranteed, they are not going to get back into salary cap hell. That is why John Dorsey, for many reasons, but one of the reasons why he was fired is because they were in salary cap hell. They are not going to sign bad contracts. They are not going to get into bad deals with players. And it's going to be almost like one of those, well, if you want to play here in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and have a chance to win championships, by all means, you can play here. But we're not overspending to keep you here. We'll find somebody else. And that's the way the New England Patriots have operated for the last 20 years. And the Chiefs are now starting to get into that mindset of the New England Patriots. Like, hey, we're one of the premier organizations. We've got the MVP. We've got a premier quarterback here. You're going to have an opportunity to win. If you want to win here, great. Let's figure out a deal that works for everybody involved. But if you're going to be, you know, the squeaky wheel, well, we're not going to give you the grease. We'll send you to Tampa.
That does sound like banishment, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like any other business, any other corporation, anywhere else that you work. It's all the same. And like I understand Chris Jones. I get it, man. I'm with him. Try to get as much money as you possibly can. But as you're out there trying to get as much money as you possibly can, don't miss out on some money that may be there that you may not like, that you may not think is good enough right now, but at the end of the day may be the best opportunity that you have. $45 million in guaranteed money is a pretty nice chunk of change.
August 6th, still that date. Still that
that's when we'll see Chris
reporting
Jones.
Reporting date for
or
Chris
Jones. Or
you
don't get an accrued year, man. That's what you want to do.
Getting the vested year. So August 6th seems like the first time we'll see Chris Jones, barring I don't want to say a cave on either side, but a cave on either side.
I can tell you, I don't think the Chiefs are going to cave. They don't have to cave.
That's what I said. They have the ultimate whammy, too. We don't even have to do this now. We can play this dance with you. If you really want to play this, we can play this dance with you next season.
Next season. Yeah.
Right?
Or we can just trade you and find somebody else.
I mean, if we can do the contract exchange dance again for another year.
I mean,
because we don't have to. You got one more year on this deal. We've got the ultimate. You signed it. You're here.
Right.
Let's play it out.
Let's see what you can do.
We can play it out. We'll see what the number is at the end.
Look, Josh, the Chiefs aren't afraid to get away from people. They cut Kareem Hunt. They got rid of Eric Berry. They got rid of Justin Houston. They traded Dee Ford. I mean, when you just look at those names on paper, from the beginning of December to the end of the football season.
Pretty big names.
Huge names, right? They're not afraid to get rid of your ass. Chris Jones ain't in that area yet. He's just not.
I mean, in the defense of the Chiefs for all those cuts, like all those guys were either at the end of their careers
right.
or had issues off the field.
Right, but what I'm saying is they're not.
Chris Jones is not in the, doesn't fit into either of those categories.
But Dee Ford, they traded. They traded Dee Ford, and people fought that one. Oh, how could you trade Dee Ford? They're not afraid to trade guys. They're not afraid to get rid of guys. Like, they're to the point now with this organization where they believe in what they have to believe in, the coach and the quarterback. And you got that, everybody else is expendable on the roster.
913-576-7610. If you know yesterday's player of the game that Cody gave you on the postgame show, chance to win Topper's Pizza, 913-576-7610 to play. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Time now for the player of the game, brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry. If you were locked in on Cody's post-game show last night, as you should be each and every night after a Royals game, he gives you a player of the game. You lock that in the old memory bank. You wait till 7:45 the next day. You call us. You get it right, we hook you up with pizza, $25 to Topper's Pizza. You get it wrong, it just rolls over to the next day, keeps on going until somebody takes home that pizza. Also, if you win, every winner registered for a gift card, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry. That's our grand prize at the end of each month. Michael is in KC. Michael, you were locked in on the Royals last night. Who was the player of the game Cody gave you?
Jacob Junis.
Let's find out.
The 1-2. Swung on and missed. He struck him out. A career high 10 strikeouts for Jacob Junis. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning. The Royals lead it 3-1.
Very descriptive call. Steve Fizziak on the call right here, 610 Sports Radio. Jacob Junis was correct. He was the player of the game. 7 innings pitched. Gave up just one run, as Steve mentioned. A career high 10 strikeouts for one Jacob Junis.
And they beat that pain in the ass Lucas Giolito.
No kidding. Finally beat that guy, right? He's won
first
27 in a row.
I don't think it's 27.
No, he's 6-1 now and 11 starts.
There it is.
The Royals. So they finally got to him for
quite the bugaboo.
For 3 runs.
5-2 winners last night against the Pale Hose, which is my favorite way to refer to the White Sox.
Fesco, during the break, you had mentioned there's another good reason to tune into Cody's postgame show.
You may hear about a trade.
That's true.
You may hear about a trade, man, because these things are happening at night. Yeah. They're happening during games. They're happening when baseball activity is kind of going on. And to the last 2 games, we've had a major trade take place. Well, a minor trade, but a major trade when you're in the town where the trade takes place. Homer Bailey obviously getting shipped out. And then last night, Martin Maldonado was traded to the Chicago Cubs. Mike Montgomery is coming back in return for the Kansas City Royals. He's going to be in the starting rotation now for the rest of the season, maybe for the next couple of years, because he's got 2 years left on his contract from what I understand. And so here we sit now. The Royals are taking guys that they signed as quote-unquote rentals for a year. Hey, either they're going to help us win or they're going to help us get better as an organization. And so far, Homer Bailey and now Martin Maldonado have helped the Royals get better as an organization.
So Mike Montgomery will start on Friday for the Royals in place of Homer Bailey. Of course, was involved in the earlier trade. And Montgomery wanted to be a starter again.
Yeah.
So he returns to Kansas City, was a once draft pick of the Royals, been pitching out of the bullpen for the Cubs, wants to be a starter again. he'll have an opportunity beginning on Friday.
That's right. Let's see what he can do. And, you know, the Royals got a lot of good starters in the minor leagues right now, but they're in the minor leagues right now. They're not quite ready to be up here at the big league level. And until that time, you're going to need dudes to start games for you. So Mike Montgomery could be one of those guys. And, you know, you got him for a couple of years. Maybe he turns out to be a good starter for you for the next couple of years. And it's somebody maybe you can flip later on and say, look, this guy's a pretty good starter. And so that's how you have to look at, you know, Mike Montgomery right now coming back to Kansas City as a guy who can help the organization in multiple ways. And he's very team friendly for the Kansas City Royals right now. It's just a nice deal. They got better over the last 2 days as an organization than they were 48 hours ago.
I mean, you mentioned the pitching being good in the minors. There was a no-hitter last night from a Royals minor leaguer. Jonathan Bolin was
right.
The second-round pick of the Royals in the 2018 draft, pitching at Class A Wilmington, threw a no-hitter last night in a 3-0 win over Carolina, struck out 9, the only base runner reached on an error.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good performance.
So no-hitter in 98 pitches. Last night for Royals minor leaguer Jonathan Bolin.
Yeah, he's been really good, especially this year down in the minor leagues. I mean, when you look at his last 10 games, 8-1 with a 2.56 ERA, 68 strikeouts, and just 5 walks over that time. I mean, just incredible numbers right now. And in the minor leagues this year, he is 10-3 with a 2.78 ERA in the minor leagues this year. He's been in Wilmington. He's been in Lexington, obviously was moved up. And since he's moved up to Wilmington, 4-1 with a 1.59 ERA. He just mows people down, man. 112 strikeouts and 12 walks this year in his two stints in the minor leagues, or two teams in the minor leagues with Lexington and Wilmington. So this kid is pitching as well as everybody else seemingly is right
it's
now.
It's good.
In the minors,
it seems
right?
They're fighting for spots and rotations in the minors.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's
That's
real good.
Hopefully that leads to good things down the road. All right. The trend apparently continues. Last week we had Melvin Gordon saying, I don't get a new deal. I'm holding out. Now we got another running back that apparently is going to do the same. Ezekiel Elliott is telling people he's going to hold out of training camp unless he gets a new contract.
Yeah.
The Ezekiel Elliott, who just got done with a meeting with the commissioner to discuss off the field things again, and was told he would not be facing any kind of suspension, kind of got a slap on the wrist and a warning, don't you be. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to turn around and reward the Cowboys by then holding out.
Correct.
Is that how that's working?
That's how it works.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah, that's
good.
Exactly how it works. Go to bat for me, and I'm going to hold out.
Yeah.
Now.
To Look, me, it's the it, this in this instance, it's the person. Like, you've done some things that have put the Cowboys in like a bad spot. Don't be holding out.
Right.
If you want a new contract, I get it. That's fine. Everybody does. I don't think, and the running back also too. He's not going to get a lot of work in camp anyway. There's no harm. It's not going to really miss it. But to me, the message is bad, considering the source.
Yeah,
Ezekiel Elliott.
I think that's fair. But I also think the position is bad too. I think the running back position is the most overrated position in sports. I mean, every time we see a team lose a running back or a running back hold out or a running back overestimated their value, we see the team just kind of move on and do okay. I mean, obviously we saw it here last year, you know, in Kansas City with Kareem Hunt. We've seen it in the past, obviously,
Pittsburgh
with Pittsburgh.
Just fine without
Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you know, Priest Holmes came to Kansas City as an unknown and turned into a really good running back, and the Chiefs have had good running backs and things like that over the years, and a lot of that has to do with the offensive line. Like, to me, the running back position is just an overrated position in the NFL, and if I'm a general manager, chances are I'm not paying a running back either. I'll take a young guy every single time, get 5 years out of him, and kick him to the curb and get another young guy, because there's so much wear and tear that goes on with a running back, because you're involved in just a bunch of plays all the time, whether you're in blocking, whether you're carrying the football, whether you're pass catching, whatever the case may be, you're involved in some sort of contact on almost every single play that the offense is involved in, and the shelf life of running backs in the NFL is just not very long. And so I understand why, if you're a running back, you're holding out and you want your money, because the chances of you getting paid in the NFL are very, very slim. I mean, let's look at Todd Gurley and the arthritic knee that he has right now. They just paid Todd Gurley, and the chances of the Rams getting a return on their investment out of Todd Gurley aren't going to be that great because of the injuries, you know, that he has suffered. And so I understand why every running back wants to hold out early and get their money. I totally get that. But if I'm a general manager in the NFL, you're a dime a dozen, man. I'm just going to move on. I mean, like, who would have thought James Conner would have put up the kind of numbers that he was able to put up? And the Steelers, I mean, on the surface, probably didn't miss Le'Veon Bell's production all that much last year. And I think the same was said for Kareem Hunt. Oh, my God, we've got to cut Kareem Hunt. Chiefs still made it to the AFC Championship game and went to overtime in that AFC Championship game, and Damian Williams turned out to be a pretty darn good running back. And so be careful what you do as a running back. I get it. I understand you want your money. But at the end of the day, to me, in my opinion, the running back position is the most overrated position right now, and it's not a guy that I'm paying any kind of money to.
And there are times where I go, well, wait a minute. I mean, Adrian Peterson, right?
Yeah.
When he was gone. And not to say that they filled in admirably, but you just took your offense a different direction when he started going down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Zeke's a different cat to me. Like, this is a top-notch running back in an offense I think that needs him.
Maybe so because of the quarterback,
so he's, I think he's got a little leverage there. And then I don't know who the next man up is. I mean, they have Jordan Chun, Darius Jackson, Tony Pollard, and Mike Weber Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like you got a little leverage here.
Yeah, maybe you do. I don't know.
I don't know. Bunch of two rookies, a first-year guy, and then a four-year guy who's done nothing.
I mean, look at Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West coming into the Chiefs. You know, when Jamal Charles went down, they really didn't miss a beat offensively at the running back position with those two guys filling in for Jamal Charles. And so the running back position to me, man, you get them on their rookie deals and then you let them go after that. And I would not invest heavily in a running back at all if I'm an NFL team.
So Zeke, the latest now, looks like he's going to be holding out of camp. It may or may not have happened, but it's being celebrated anyway. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.